Dusty Likens.
Hearing some of those commercials in the break, how the drive is not brought to you by Go Car Wash. Are you washed? Probably not. Come to Go Car Wash. I'm Carrington Harrison. I'm Carrington. It is a Wednesday. Starting to look like a beautiful day out there.
Yeah, it depends on what side of the building we're on. You look to the north, it's sunny. You look to the south, it looks like, I don't even know what. What's the word that I'm looking for?
Washed.
Yeah.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
Couldn't have said it better, my man. The Fesco and Dusty Wednesday poll question. Would you rather have Mahomes' arm or Bobby Witt Jr.'s arm? 70.2% say Mahomes' arm. I agree. I think that's where I would lean as well. I know Bobby's got a hose, but Mahomes, man.
Who makes more money in their career? Just playing money. Bobby or Patrick?
Bobby Witt Jr.
I'll go Bobby because it's baseball, but it's close.
Well, but I don't know what the new collective bargaining agreement's going to be. That's the thing. Yep. You know, we don't know where that's going in baseball. So who knows? But I would lean towards Bobby because baseball. But man, what Mahomes has made some dough already, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the $500 million contract, yeah, would say enough, because I do remember when he was going to get his contract that they were saying that Mahomes is going to get baseball money,
mm-hmm,
which is hilarious because he did get baseball money. I mean, there's only like, what, two players in baseball that make more money contract wise than he?
And Ohtani and Soto, right?
I think that's the only two. $750 million, yeah. And what did Ohtani get? Soto got 700, right?
I can't remember.
And Ohtani got like 750.
But they're both in the sevens. I know that.
Yeah.
Wonder if they're going to stay in the sevens once this new collective bargaining agreement comes in.
The Mets would rather have Soto or Pete Crow Armstrong.
I think the Mets would rather have Pete Alonso, too. I mean, yeah, but Pete Crow Armstrong is another one that they traded him away.
Javi Baez.
I know. The Mets made some bad moves, bro. Like some really, really bad moves at that point in time.
But Bill Rasmussen passed away. And for those of you that don't know who that is, he is basically the founder of ESPN.
Yeah, like created this thing in his basement, basically.
Went into debt, buying a satellite to basically create the four-letter network for all of us that we used to love so dearly. And the question we get asked is, who are the most influential and important people in sports?
Because he's one of them.
Yeah, without him, we don't have SportsCenter. We don't have anything that we have on ESPN today.
I mean, you wonder where rights are, too. Rights fees and the televised games and all of that kind of stuff. Because ESPN came out and they were still televising the NBA Finals on tape delay.
Booyah!
ESPN was the first real group, I think, to do the NCAA tournament. And then CBS, you know, took that away from them. But, I mean, you talk about, like, most influential people in sports. Every single sports fan watches ESPN or consumes it at some point. I don't want to hear, I don't watch ESPN, it's just garbage. No, you watch. We've all, at one point in our lives, as a sports fan or just as a normal American, have come alongside and watched ESPN. And it really did. It's changed the landscape of everything. You think about when that network came out in 1979. I was two. You know, you guys had you weren't even existing, right? Like,
nope.
Dusty, you were nowhere to be found. Mac, your parents may not even be married back then. And so, you know, in 79, this comes out. People are doubting whether or not this is going to work. And they originally wanted to do it as a local Connecticut type thing. And then they found a way to expand it and make it global. And then because of that, sports talk radio got here. And here we sit in this age of media. That was all started by Bill Rasmussen and his brother, not his brother, but his son, basically in their basement for $9,000. And I think it's funny, 3 weeks after ESPN went on the air, Chris Berman was hired. He's literally been there since day one. Nobody can find his butt, but he's literally been there since day one with that network. And so this is crazy. He is one of the biggest pioneers and one of the most important people and one of the most influential people in sports history.
Yeah, I think some of the names that I came up with, and I mean, I'm probably going to get, you know, ran for this, but Lamar Hunt
is
on the list for me, mm-hmm, just because the NFL is not what it is today. We heard Clark Hunt talking in the interview on the first preseason game that the World Cup was always something that they wanted to do as a family. I'm sure you listened to, you know, Hosmer talked to, you know, the McAfee show about having a moment in the locker room. I'm sure there was a moment at the Hunt household where it's like, we did it.
We did it.
The World Cup here. They're all soccer nuts over there, that household. So Lamar Hunt for sure,
no
because
doubt.
Football's not here without that. For me, another one is Tiger Woods. Now, he's not.
Yeah.
You think about in what he, now the players will always have him. Like they will always, he'll always be the guy. I remember when like the LIV and PGA Tour stuff was getting really murky. Tiger like flew in with a bunch of dudes to like settle this thing and try to get the PGA focused on what is important. And then you look at why I play golf today. It's no secret. I do radio because of Jim Rome, and I do golf because Tiger Woods was so mesmerizing to me to be like, that sport seems really fun if you can get decent at it. And it's why I play. It's why a lot of people play.
No doubt.
It's why basically the entire tour plays. And a lot of times you hear things about certain stats on the tour. A lot of people are like, well, you know, Tiger, you know, walks so we could all run. And then the last one for me is kind of one that's more new. And to me, it's Topps and Bowman.
Mm-hmm.
It's the card industry. You go from the kid that pulled the Cooper flag, you know, debut patch, $3 million card, said he wants to hold on to it and just embellish what it is. Sell the damn card, kid. Come on, man.
Get rid of it.
Dad, talk to this kid, man.
Take the cash, bro.
$3 million. But I get it. You know, to each their own. But the way the card game is newly one of the ones that is, like, influential to people is, you know, we talk about this all the time. Like, we see these kids getting drafted out of college, going straight into the pros. We've seen Kevin McGonigal take off, Jack Caglione, Nick Kurtz, uh-huh. JJ Weatherholtz, Paul Skeens, mm-hmm. all these names. These are all names of guys that were in college, if not high school, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And kids are collecting their cards. When they show the pregame stuff on the Royals TV network, you know, there's people standing in line and they're holding a Bowman or a Topps card that's almost guaranteed either Bobby or Jack. That's mm-hmm. what I would assume. Or maybe there's a few Carters out there as well. But the card game has been influential to
no doubt.
The youth and to
even people in baseball. Yeah.
Right. Like, you know, people like, you know, oh, I got this. I guess this card's really, really high on the money list. What is it? Some prospect from Miami. Mm-hmm. All right, I'll hold on to that. And then, you know, you go back to Tiger with the players and the young kids that are now my age in their 30s and 40s and maybe close to their 50s that are like, yeah, I play golf because Tiger got me into it. And then Lamar Hunt as well.
Yeah, and card companies, dude, they grow the game. I mean, I remember as a kid, you knew who everybody was and what every team they played on. It's not because you were watching games, because back then maybe you got one game a week, but you were collecting cards. You knew all the randos out there. And, you know, whoever was pitching in a game, oh, yeah, I know that guy, got his card. And you were able to. So, no, the card industry is really big when it comes to having that sort of influence. For me, I got a couple of names on my list. And I was looking at Mac's list. And I'm like, did Bob write that list? Because, I mean, like, you got every old geezer on there possible, and it's a really good list because I share one with you, and that is Pete Rozelle. And he is the most important guy when it comes to the NFL because he was the commissioner when they merged, but he was also the guy who came up with these first TV deals for the National Football League. And because of him and his ideas, the NFL is on TV the way it is for all of us today, which is free. And I don't want to hear streaming and all this kind of stuff. If you're a Chiefs fan in Kansas City, every game is free. Okay, every game is free. No other sport provides that. No other sport provides that to any fan base other than the NFL. And that goes all back to Pete Rozelle and his doings and dealings with those TV networks. You're going to laugh at this one. Jerry Jones is on my list. Jerry Jones came into the NFL and turned the NFL on its head and showed how much money this league can make. The NFL, it was a Coke-sponsored league forever. Jerry Jones came in and signed a local deal with Pepsi, flipped the entire table on the NFL. The NFL was pissed. What are you doing? Why are you doing that? Because I'm generating local revenue. All the local revenue I generate is the money that I get to keep. And Jerry Jones found a way to basically turn Dallas into a mini NFL by its own with the AT&T sponsorship and showed the rest of the NFL, oh, we can sell these local deals and it doesn't have to be in with the NFL. And he got the ball rolling on that. He's also the guy that's behind basically every new stadium out there. He's the guy that goes in and gets these deals done and makes sure that everybody is getting these new stadiums. And then he buys the concession business and sells his own concession so he doesn't have to pay for that as well. Jerry Jones is an unbelievable game changer in the National Football League. He may be the most important owner when it comes to where the NFL is right now because Jerry had that vision and they all follow Jerry Jones. And if he didn't have that vision, I don't know where the NFL is at this point in time. And I also put Rob Manfred on this list. I know baseball people aren't going to like him, but what other commissioner has come in and changed rules of a sport and we love them, right? every rule that Rob Manfred has changed, we all go, that works. That's great. That's wonderful. And what has it done? It's made the game of baseball better. We're bringing the younger players up faster now. We've got a pitch clock. The games are faster. We're seeing things that we've never seen before in the game. And I think it's great. And it's all because Rob Manfred pushed the envelope and said, we're getting out of the old guard stuff and we're going to change this game. So those are three guys that I have on my list.
Yeah, that's a great one. Roselle also, you know, expanded the league, was the commissioner of the NFL for damn near 30 years. I'd say David Stern, another commissioner in the
NBA. He was a commissioner when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 1960 to 1989 was Pete Roselle. That was his tenure. David Stern, you talk about making things global. He did it the right way because he didn't take NBA teams away from the United States, but he created basketball around the world. It's one of the most popular sports now in the world. I'll go Bill Veeck.
Veeck.
This is a guy that I read up on. Yeah, trying to look up stuff yesterday. This guy is, I mean, this is a guy after your own heart, Bobby. He made entertainment in sports. He was bringing out live animals. He had wedding ceremonies at the home plate. This was a great stunt that he had in 1951. Eddie Goodell came to the plate as pinch hitter for the St. Louis Browns. He was 3'7" tall. Yep. He wore the uniform number 1/8. And he made the entrance into the game by bursting out of a papier-mâché cake and then proceeded to draw a walk. And then, Bill James with sabermetrics and analytics and sports. So you can hate him, love him, whatever, you can say that.
He's massively
influential, and to me, positively influential in sports.
Yeah, but I think he's a very negative influence on sports, but that's just me. But no doubt an influential. Yeah, the Bill Veeck one is great. He was in charge of Disco Demolition Night. I mean, like, all of those stupid promotions that you saw back in the 70s, because he owned, I want to say, Cleveland, St. Louis, and the White Sox.
He owned, like, a bunch of different teams throughout his time. There's a
documentary out there right now, and I forget which streaming services on about his son, who about the Veeck family. You should watch that and see some of the stuff that they do. And he was also the first American League owner to break the color barrier as well. Once Jackie Robinson broke it in the National League, then Bill Veeck in the American League, when he was running Cleveland, had Larry Doby on his team, and he was the first African American in the American League. Like, Bill Veeck, that's a great pull by you. Yeah, you know, that really is. That's a good pull by you, because he really was influential with a lot of the stuff that he did. Walk-up music, names on jerseys.
Yeah.
You know, Eddie Goodell, the 1/8 guy. It was crazy. Yeah.
That's funny.
Somebody says Phil Knight could be one.
Phil Knight is,
Phil Knight could be one.
How could you not put Phil Knight on that list?
Right. I hate to agree with this one, but I totally agree because of the creep that he is. Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
I mean, completely changed everything from, like, you know, wrestling was like, here comes the clown.
And every sport's compared to wrestling now. Who's the heel?
It's fair.
You know? So, no, Vince, again, if you don't agree with somebody, doesn't mean they weren't influential.
Yeah, no, it's not even agreeing with him. He's just an awful human
being. He's just a terrible
human. But he was very influential.
Yeah.
Yep.
For sure. I mean, just look at WrestleMania today, man. The Chiefs build a new stadium, and it's like, we're going to get a Super Bowl. We're going to get concerts. We're going to get Final Four. We're going to get WrestleMania. We're going to get Royal Rumble. Wait, were those last two you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
And Dusty, they'll probably be the two biggest crowds.
100%. 100%. Yeah. Coming up on the other side, which one scares you more? Here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Peter Woods, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football on 96.5 The Fan.
As the NFL season gets closer and closer to the beginning, I think we're like 20 days away.
21 days from today.
A lot of people are starting to give out their broadcast teams. ESPN's Monday Night Countdown team for the 2026 NFL season. Scott Van Pelt, Pat McAfee, Jason Kelsey, Jason McCourtney, and Marcus Spears. So again, you get more Pat McAfee, as if College Game Day wasn't enough on Saturday, as if his show Monday through Friday wasn't enough, as if Monday Night Countdown isn't enough.
Got to get your money's worth.
The same with Jason Kelsey, who also will be doing some games in the booth with Mr. Warner and Mr. Posh, or Pash.
He's going to
London, Paris, and then TBA.
Yeah. They're sending Kelsey overseas.
And I told Bob, I'm like, man, his wife's probably loved that. London twice, and then you get to go to Paris. Like, those are great places. And Bob goes, no, it's going to be enjoy the trip. Have a good time.
Get the hell out of here, man. I'll see you when you get back. Sure you don't want to unretire?
But yeah. The NFL kickoff is Wednesday, September 9th at 6 o'clock on NBC and Peacock. And boy, did they nail it with their promotional commercial.
This will be a good game.
Definitely.
Uh-oh. Guess what day NFL kickoff is, huh? Anybody?
This guy.
Mike. What day is NFL kickoff?
It's a day early, we know.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. I'm asking Mike. Come on, Mike. It's another name for Wednesday. Just say it.
Hump day.
Hump day! Hump day kickoff! Yeah! Where's Tomlin?
Patriots, Seahawks, NFL kickoff.
Tomlin. Mike.
I'm talking to Mike. Thanks, Chris. Where's Tomlin? I just want to know who's voicing that camel.
Play it again. Let me hear the camel voice again.
Oh, hang on real quick. Oh, there it is. Okay. Sunday Night Football. It just sounds like a familiar name, and I don't know who.
Oh, guess what day NFL Romo. Kickoff is.
Oh, huh? Jim.
Anybody?
This guy.
Mike, what day is NFL kickoff?
It's a day early, we know.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. I'm asking Mike. Come on, Mike. It's another name for Wednesday. Just say it.
Hump day.
Hump day! Hump day kickoff!
Sounds like Big Dust!
Where's Tomlin?
Patriot.
Mm.
It could be Rossini or it could be Romo.
The original was Chris Sullivan. I don't know if that's still him, but...
And he's known for...
He was in, oh God, what's that show that, I don't know.
It sounds familiar though. Like, I don't know why that's registering in my.
He was in a super popular show. This Is Us.
Oh, there you go.
Oh yeah. That was popular. I never watched that.
Yeah, I've seen some clips, but.
How could you? Everybody's in tears after every episode.
It's funny you say that because it was.
Did you watch it?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
It was popular when I was like in eighth grade or not eighth grade, but like in high school. Like, or maybe I was like when I was in college or whatever it was, but I was like in my younger 20s. And so I'm still living at home. And I would like come upstairs at like 9 o'clock on a Sunday night or whatever it was on. And my parents were like bawling.
It started in 2016.
Okay. So yeah, I was in college, kind of, not really, but I was still
16 to 22.
Okay. So yeah, I was just outside of college. So I wasn't living at home, but I would be at home or whatever when they were watching. I remember this. My parents were just like bawling. I'm like, who died?
I know. My wife would watch it all the time. I go, why are you crying? This is us. Who was the guy in that show that became a big star? He was originally in the OJ documentary that came out a couple of years prior to
Sterling Brown.
That's it. Sterling Brown.
Yep.
We interviewed Sterling Brown during the OJ stuff because he played, you know, somebody when the true story on FX, I think, came out, the first OJ documentary. That was the nicest guy that I have ever spoken to in my entire life. Like Sterling Brown, he played Chris Darden, who was one of the attorneys in the OJ case, who basically screwed up the entire case.
He's the one that brought out the glove.
He's
right?
The glove guy, right? Yeah. So he's playing Chris Darden in this FX, you know, show that was about OJ. Which I do think of all the OJ documentaries out there that came out, the FX one was the best. That's where we get "Shut Up, Bob" or whatever that drop is that we have. You're stupid, Bob.
Blow it out your ass, Bob.
Yeah, that comes from that documentary,
Nathan Lane.
Right? Nathan Lane was in that, and so
well, that's who says that line,
right? Yeah, and Sterling Brown played, you know, Christopher Darden, and so we were interviewing anybody we could during that time associated with the OJ case, right? So we're calling everybody and anybody, and we didn't have OJ on the show, I don't think. But we did have Sterling Brown, and the reason I'm telling the story is because we called Chris Darden. Darden answered. I called his law office, told him what we were doing, hung up the phone. And then we got Sterling Brown, who played Chris Darden. I was like, oh my God, you're the nicest guy in the world.
That is cool.
And then it was like a year later, This Is Us started, and it blew up his career. And I'm like, we had that guy on the phone line when he was nobody, the nicest human being one of those. Anytime you need me, call me, that kind of stuff. I'm like, damn, that guy was awesome.
That's awesome.
And so I rooted for that guy for his entire career to do well because of how he treated me and Josh when we were doing those interviews.
So I don't know. I guess this is breaking news. Maybe not. This comes from Aaron Wilson. He covers the NFL and Texans for, is this real? This isn't real.
No. I'm just thinking that's the guy Dicks in My Ass.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. This is Dicks in My Ass.
Yes.
Chiefs are re-signing Cam Jones, per league sources.
Who?
Cam Jones. He's a linebacker, spent last season with the Jets and offseason with the Giants, earned a Super Bowl ring with the Chiefs, appearing in every game in his first two seasons in Kansas City.
I've never heard of the guy he played to.
Drew interest from multiple NFL teams as a free agent, and now back with his original team.
What was his name? Cam Jones.
Yep.
Be honest. Had you ever heard of him?
Yeah, he's a Super Bowl champion Chiefs linebacker. Come on.
Back if you...
Do better.
Ever heard of Cam Jones?
No, he's probably a special teamser.
He'll be on Cody and Alex's show later, I guess.
That's a good one.
That is good. Yeah, 19 and 17 combined tackles. Last year, 5 combined tackles. Yeah, he's a special teamser.
Let's go.
Yeah, he's a body.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we're not making a big deal out of this, but I think like Cam Jones, he had 2 Super Bowl rings. I never heard of the guy. Mac, if you be honest. If you have, say yes.
I said no. No.
Does anybody know who this guy is? Like, seriously, I mean, Kling has no clue who this guy is.
Yeah, he was with the Jets last year. He was with the Giants this offseason, and he's coming back home where he won a Super Bowl championship with the Kansas City Chiefs. What are you talking about?
Welcome into Cody and Gold, Cam.
Put those refractors over there, please. They have value. That's a super fractor. It's gold. It's 1 of 1. Please don't touch it with your fingers. If it gets smears on it, it loses value.
Literally.
If you put your fingerprints on it, it's gonna get washed.
Alvin Kamara expected to be sidelined for at least the next month,
but they said he survived not getting a massive injury.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, one of those like, whoo! Thank God it wasn't
week 4.
So,
yeah,
they lose Jordan Tyson and Alvin Kamara within a week.
So we still on the Saints?
Nope.
Okay.
Got to bounce. I mean, you have to at this point,
they got
right?
Travis Etienne still.
I know, but those are 2 big injuries, man. Like, those are really, really big.
Chris Olave is still there.
Yep. The Jordan Tyson one's huge. I think the Alvin Kamara one's less big, but.
I agree with you on that. The Jordan Tyson one sucks, but that's huge. I mean, you apologized to Brett yesterday because of the injury stuff, and everybody knew this guy was injured, and the Saints drafted him. That's why you can't draft injured. People show you who they are. When people show you who they are, believe them. And when one guy's battling injury after injury after injury, I don't want to bring a guy that's battling injury into my organization. I'll find somebody else.
This is where dyslexia hits me 101. Kyle Shanahan, Christian McCaffrey's absence is not contact related. Oh, contract related. Well, you never know.
It could be either one.
No kidding. So
it shows you how powerful Mike Florio is, though, because he put that out there as a theory, which is his opinion, which he's allowed to do, which is fine.
Debunk that immediately.
We all do that. And then the media goes and asks the coach about that. Well, Mike Florio said this. If I was Shanahan, I'd be like, what the, you know, what does Florio know?
And this just comes in from Chargers camp, their center. I am not even going to try to say
his
name.
I can't say his name either.
Tyler Biadasz.
Maybe
that's how you say it. Biadasz.
Mm-hmm.
Out significant amount of time after injuring several ligaments.
Oh my God.
Not just
he was a big free agent signing too.
Yep. That
was
several ligaments as the offensive line woes continue for the Chargers. God. We segue that into the Kansas City Chiefs because boys, I'm not gonna lie. Maybe I'm a hypochondriac when it comes to injuries with the offensive line because I know what the quarterback did last year to his knee. Josh Simmons has a back strain or whatever they called it yesterday, back tightness, whatever it is. And Trey Smith's hip injury. Bob, we are damn near to the 10-day window.
Mm-hmm.
Today is the last camp practice.
Yep.
Maybe this was very well planned out by Trey Smith. I don't know. But the hip injury, back injury, starting left tackle, starting right guard, I don't like this, and I don't like being told everything's fine. And again, I can be the child here. I can be the hypochondriac, the freak-out artist. I'm tired of this. Everything's fine. Breece Hall was told everything's fine 2 to 3 weeks. Alvin Kamara, everything's going to be fine. He avoided major injury, month. So again, like, this has to be an offensive line that is ready to go, that is not injured, that does not have any sort of red flags, because you're coming back from a knee injury with your quarterback, and we saw that offensive line backups in that first preseason game. Again, I know it's 1 preseason game. I know that we're told not to worry about the back or the hip of Trey Smith. You did the motion on Monday with being an offensive lineman. The back injury always will scare me. I will go back to this if something does flare up later on, no pun intended.
Mm-hmm.
But the left tackle, the right guard, 2 of the most trusted people on your offensive line to not only like rejuvenate the run game, but protect your quarterback that just had knee surgery. This does give me a little bit of reason to be concerned. I don't know how more uncomfortable you guys are than I am, but I am not just sitting back going, ah, they'll be fine.
Yeah, no, I am in that category, though. I am fine with these guys. I think for Josh Simmons, let's talk about him. And I was told yesterday it's a rest thing for Josh Simmons more than anything. Remember, he practiced twice the other day because there were no other linemen out there. So
played with the third team.
Yeah, he played with the third team. So
it's
so
like Wimby playing 47 minutes.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's like,
I don't
right?
need to see that.
Yeah, and they didn't need to see that. But you know what? They didn't have anybody else. So Josh Simmons went out there and played three practices or whatever, however you want to break
Jared
it down.
Jared Wiley's
right?
ass out there at left tackle.
Somebody they have. Yeah.
Norzad, you're up.
No, they had a body. Don't do that. Yeah. They definitely had linemen they could have put in there.
Maybe they didn't want to. Maybe they don't want to waste their time with Hunter Norzad. Okay? Sorry. Just going to call it like it is. They're guys you just don't want to waste your time on.
I don't waste my time seeing Josh Simmons with the third team either.
Well, also, coming off of last year, you get him all these reps. But so
hey, Bob, you're going to host After Hours tonight.
Okay, fine, whatever. I won't be here for that, Ben. But it's not in the middle of practice. You know, if Cody and Gold couldn't stay on after 10 o'clock, we'd sit here for a half hour and give them the opportunity to get in here and work their magic. No, I'm not worried at all about that because the team isn't worried about
this. Somebody come in for 30 minutes?
Yeah, he'd be in there in 2 seconds, right? You'd never have to call me because he'd be there before I could even answer the phone.
There's juice all over the place.
So, I'm not worried about these at all. I think this is obviously a little bit of a rest for Josh Simmons. I'm not worried about the Trey Smith stuff yet. You look at what they're doing signing-wise, right? They haven't brought in one offensive lineman at all. They just signed this linebacker guy that nobody's ever heard of because that position, I'm more concerned about the linebacker position than I am. You know, I'm more concerned about the healthy linebackers than I am concerned about a couple of, you know, banged-up offensive linemen at this point, if that makes sense. I'm more concerned about that position than I am anything else, and clearly they are. They're bringing back this two-time Super Bowl champ. I mean, you don't bring back a two-time Super Bowl champ.
Is it one time? I think it's just one time.
Oh,
right?
Is it just one time? I thought the guy won two.
23 and 24. We didn't win in 24, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, we did.
Oh, we didn't win in 20. Yeah, that's so sports.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
Yeah, the 24 season.
24 season.
Yes. Leave the Chiefs to me.
Yeah. Yes. The 24 season. So,
24
yeah,
season. Yes.
Two-time Super Bowl champ.
Cam Jones.
So he's coming back. Who?
Never heard of it.
Cam Jones.
913-816-4404.
That's not the number. But yeah, you're just fine.
I'm
with
fine.
These guys.
Yeah,
I don't know about that, man. Mac, am I wrong in that situation? Like, should I relax?
With the Josh Simmons thing, I get where you're coming from. Backs are scary, but I'm with Bob a little bit on it. I'm just frustrated that he was playing with the third team. I think it's idiotic, but it's malpractice in my opinion. But I think Josh Simmons. That's not as scary. It's one day. He's tired. Doesn't need to be out there. The Trey Simmons thing. We're getting to. I mean, what is this, Bob? We're day nine?
But now, day nine or 10. Today's the last day of training camp, so you'll see him next week, you know?
Okay, as long as we see him next week and he plays.
Who are we going to see next week, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, then there's really no way to tell, and so that's why that timeline is a little fishy, where it's like 7 to 10 days. Yeah, 10 days? Well, you'll never get a chance to see him until the season starts.
And I will say this. This is also why we do not need practices open to the media, because certain things like this that aren't that big a deal become these major deals because people are watching and talking and training camp, and every injury becomes a Mount Vesuvius type of injury for everyone.
That wouldn't be good for us.
Well, then we wouldn't have been able to see Scott Steiner stun suplex somebody for the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah. Or you wouldn't know why the center for the Chargers is hurt. It's the left guard. He's now hurt both their tackles in training camp, and now he's hurt the center. This is the reason they have missed three linemen now, maybe for years.
Oof.
This guard, specifically.
What do you mean this guard is hurt?
This guard, the Chargers, he gets a guy and then he throws him to the ground, and that's what happened. The clip came out and he threw him to the ground
right into the other guy. What an idiot! Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's practice. If you're throwing a guy to the ground, that means you already have a hold of him. You don't need to.
I mean,
toss
Simmons.
Him.
What were they calling that move last week? The Josh Simmons snatch. Had the snatch and grab
snatch
or something.
Block. Yep.
Yeah, the snatch block. Somebody said their wife's been doing for 20 years of marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I still don't get that.
So is that a new thing now in the NFL, though? Is the snatch block going to be something that we're going to see, and we're going to see all these dudes get rolled up? Because I don't want to sit here talking about the snatch block all season. I got to be honest with you.
I think the way Mac was talking about it is like not everybody's able to do it. But the ones that can are like the freak dudes.
Okay, right? Is that what it is? It's not going to be this new trend that we see in the NFL where everybody's doing a snatch block and throwing everybody into everybody and everybody's got a knee injury now?
Yeah, I don't think it's a new trend. I think it's a technique that's probably been used for a long time, but I think the downsides of it are very obvious and clear, that you can back up into that quarterback pocket really, really quickly. But obviously they'll get a hold of that. That's fine.
Yeah.
I was talking to a guy Binkley about it, and he made a good point. It's like it's nothing having to do with, you know, hands or technique or fundamentals. And so they can take care of that. You know, you'd rather hear something about a snatch block than oh, this guy's not quick enough, his hands don't get in the right spot, his feet work, things like that.
No,
right?
But what I'm asking is I'm not familiar with the snatch block until this week, right?
Yeah.
I don't think any of us were familiar with the snatch block until recently. And so that's why I'm asking is if it is a new trend, if this is what we're going to see now in the NFL, like the offensive linemen have found this trick, you know, like baseball players with the torpedo bat, remember at the beginning of the year and everybody lost their minds over a torpedo bat, and then the weekend happened and we forgot about the torpedo bat. So is the snatch block going to be that buzzword this year that we're all mm-hmm. You got Collins with the snatch block, he's one of the best snatch blockers ever. You know, like, come on, there's always something that, you know, the NFL has as a storyline. Snatch blocking may be it.
I don't know, man. Somebody says they're still concerned about the receivers more than anything on this roster.
Yeah, I get that. That Thornton injury sucks. I mean, I said it yesterday. They better hope no one gets hurt. They better hope that they're right about these wide receivers because it's just so thin. So thin.
And they still haven't signed anybody at that position yet either. The linebacker spot, they brought in a guy. Defensive end, they brought in a guy.
Best like horseradish.
A lot of defensive stuff.
No.
I'd rather have Juju Smith-Schuster.
No.
No, I don't want him either.
I don't want him either. No, but I'd rather have him than a guy who's got a bum leg.
SI just came out with the top five free agent wide receivers. He was number one, Tyreek Hill.
Mm-hmm. Currently free agent wide receivers.
Yeah, current free agent wide receivers, yeah.
Well, I mean,
Hopkins was number three. I'd rather have Hopkins back.
Yeah.
No question.
Who was number two?
I'd have to pull it up. I can't quite remember. Sterling Shepard was on the list. Tyler Lockett was number five, so I remember four of them.
Damn, Tyler Lockett's still getting some love.
Well, I mean, remaining free agents.
Yeah, I'm good on that, too.
Yeah, I don't need any of those guys, quite honestly. I mean,
I'd bring back Hopkins.
Here we are at the end of camp, and those five guys are still out there. So why do we want them?
Because they're all waiting for camp to be over.
Maybe.
That's the only thing I can come up with. Like, they're like, we're all veterans.
Maybe, but if you're Tyreek Hill, you need to get out there and get, like, with a team to get that leg rehabbed, I would think.
Oh, Brandon Cooks was number two.
So I don't hate that name.
I don't hate that name either, Dusty.
I'd rather have Brandon Cooks and Tyreek Hill, and that's not like the strongest thing to have a conversation over with, but that's like all I have to say about that.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I'd take Mac Morey running routes over Tyreek Hill.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
That's like horseradish.
That's like horseradish.
It kind of sounds the same. Coming up, you guys yesterday did a team that'll suck. We'll talk about teams that'll be good that seemingly no one thinks they will be, plus an overrated players list in the league that doesn't make a whole lot of sense here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Josh Simmons, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Moving right along. Don't forget, this is Cody and Alex's last day.
Last day of camp, baby. Who did they get? Anybody get?
Yeah, I think they're going to get DeMercado.
Okay.
That's my guess.
See, I think they're going with that new guy that we talked about, Charles Jones.
Charles Johnson, former catcher with a lot of power from the left-handed side or the right-handed side of the base.
I like Charles Johnson back in the day.
World Series champion.
Yes, he is. Never take that away from him.
But you guys talked yesterday, and I'm interested to know who you guys picked when it came to, like, who was, you know, going to be bad. Was it who was going to be bad next year or this year in football?
It was like teams that'll be bad this year in football that no one's talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you guys chose.
I can't remember now. That was yesterday.
Bob said the Chiefs.
I'm trying to think who I did say. Can you remember who you said?
I can't remember. That's awesome. You guys are great. So we'll move on. But there is a list. There is a list out there from Sleeper NFL.
Remind me of my take again.
Yeah.
I could look it up, but I can't. That's so bad.
It's good. You guys are great. Somebody's
we
gotta,
do 20 hours
a
week.
You know.
And we talk about all these teams all the time.
You've done 12 hours so far this week.
Times 17 years, yeah.
Hey, McFly. But FanSided ranks the 9 most overrated players in the NFL. Number 1 is Bo Nix. Number 2 is Caleb Williams. Number 3 is Jalen Hurts. Number 4 is Justin Herbert. So quarterbacks have it tough. Number five is DK Metcalf. Number six, Drake May. Number seven, Joe Burrow. Number eight, George Pickens. And number nine, Sauce Gardner, who was traded for, I believe, 2 first-round picks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So are there names on that list that shouldn't be on that list? Because I can think that Caleb Williams shouldn't be on that list. I don't think Justin Herbert should be on that list. I don't think Joe Burrow should be on that list. And I don't think George Pickens should be on that list. So out of those names, Williams, Herbert, Burrow, and Pickens, I don't agree.
I kind of like this list because it is overrated, right? And you can't put Patrick Mahomes on that list, or JSN is not going to make that list, or K9 is probably not going to make a list like that. So it's people where you can kind of have that conversation who are coming off a good year.
Everyone said you said Denver yesterday.
Yes, I did. I said F at Denver. That's exactly right. Yeah, I did. I said F at Denver.
The 913 says marijuana affects the memory.
Yeah, I did. I said F at Denver, right? Yeah, that's who it was yesterday.
There we go.
But I think also when it comes to overrated, it's guys who had a good year last year that everybody's like kind of crowning. We all still need to see a little bit more out of Bo Nix, especially coming off the injury. I personally need to see more out of Caleb Williams. I don't think Jalen Hurts belongs on that list. I don't. Justin Herbert doesn't in the regular season. But in the postseason, he could be on that list. Drake May, I think it's early. I think he's probably a little overrated right now. Let's see what he does going into this season. And then the Sauce Gardner one is just bizarre to me. It's just bizarre. Sauce Gardner makes that list.
He's really overrated, in my opinion. Would you not agree?
I don't know. It's like, how do we define rated or overrated for a defensive back? Like, if nobody's throwing to his side, then he's doing his job, because that's what we said about Trent McDuffie.
Yeah, but people were thrown to his side.
Was he giving up? I didn't watch enough Colts football or Jets football.
Yeah, people were thrown to his side, and he can't really tackle. I think he's overrated. I think he's the next Trayvon Diggs. That would be my Sauce Gardner take there.
Diggs was the one that had like 9 interceptions or something that year.
Led the league in interceptions. And led the league like,
Trayvon Diggs! And now he's led the league in getting toasted.
Now he's trying out for teams.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he led the league in getting toasted that year with interceptions, too. But people just, you know, like chicks dig the long ball.
Yeah, whatever, but you know what? That's why you look at an interception. Was the ball underthrown? Was the route run the right way? You know, there's so many other factors that go into interceptions. Obviously, they suck for the team throwing them, but why did they happen?
Love that DK Metcalf's on this list. Been saying that for years. Absolutely one-trick pony. Extremely overrated. He's
been very overrated in this town.
And not that he wouldn't have been great with Kansas City, but he's a one-trick pony. He looks great with his shirt off, and that's about it. And he can run a go route. Drake May's a little bit overrated because of last season, but I still think he's awesome. But I get where people are coming from with him being maybe just a little overrated. It's early.
It's early, yeah.
It's early.
People are crowning him, you know?
Obviously you guys know my feelings and thoughts about Jalen Hurts, so I like him being on this list. And, yeah, George Pickens, I don't get that. George Pickens is a bona fide stud.
I didn't understand that one at all.
Yeah, Pickens is a beast.
Yeah,
if you took somebody off that list and had to put somebody on, which I think you're going to rip my face off for this take.
Okay.
I think I'd put Jordan Love on that list.
I'm with you, Dusty. I would put him on that list, too.
In a 17-game average, 3,400, 25-9. Those are good. Those are good numbers. But
really good.
Yeah, but I mean, like, in a league now where, like, we put really good, it's 39... 38, right? Like that's, you know, 4,000 is not like an easy clippable number. But the way that I feel like a lot of people talk about Jordan Love is that he's accomplishing that year in and year out of 39, 4,000, 38. He damn near had identical years in back-to-back years. Mm-hmm. 2024, mm-hmm. He was, you know, 15 games, 9-6. Last year he went 9-5. 33-81 last year, 33-89 the year before. 25 touchdowns the year before, 23 last year, 6 interceptions last year, 11 the year prior. Now, the year that everybody kind of saw him bloom was 2023, where he threw for 41-59, 32 touchdowns and 11 interceptions. I think that's the number that everyone thinks Jordan Love is always at, but there's 2 years of samples where he's not been that guy.
Look at the attempt difference there.
No, I'm aware. And that's why, again, this is why I find that interesting, because I know for a fact, because they said it, that last year they put the ball in what's his face, the running back that's under
scrutiny. Yeah, Josh Jacobs.
They put it in his hands because Jordan Love was turning the ball over. Maybe that was 2 years ago, where they're like, we're just going to run the ball now because, you know, we got to get our quarterback right. And that's what you have to do. That's why the Texans struggled last year, because their quarterback was struggling, but they didn't have a running game to, like, really get him, you know, out of it. They were like, well, we can't really run the ball to disguise what's going on right now. We have to just continue to throw it. And it was a disaster for C.J. Stroud in the playoffs, right? 5 interceptions, 2 touchdowns, didn't look like himself. And yeah. I do think that Jordan Love is good. I just don't know if he's as good as advertised. And so I think he's a little bit overrated. That's my honest take. And I do believe, 579, 4159, and then 11 interceptions, 6 interceptions. But, I mean, the overall 17-game average, everyone and anyone in the NFL is taking that. That is not my position.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people put him in the category with, like, Burrow and Herbert and Dak and these guys that I know for a fact are going to throw for 4,100 yards. I've seen it one time from Jordan Love. Maybe this year I'm quiet and we see a different side of it, and maybe he's matured more into the league where he's got it more figured out. But knowing for a fact that they were giving it to your running back to get you cleared, I don't know. And maybe that's just the way the NFL. I don't think that he's...
Struggle with injury would be my answer to that. Okay. And that may be his biggest downfall, injuries. Yeah. Is struggling with the ankle injury, struggling with the elbow and stuff. So if he can play 17 games and be healthy, I think they'll let him rip it. 579 attempts, to your point, in 2023. Mm-hmm. The last 2 years, 425, 439. So a massive discrepancy there. If they can let him rip it, I think we'll see the stats.
And the playoff numbers have to change a little bit, too.
They do.
Because as much as we give Herbert, you know, the poo-poo platter, he's 1-3.
No, Herbert's never won a playoff game.
I'm talking about Love.
Oh, yeah.
Love is 1-3, mm-hmm. and he's got 81 completions on 134. That's well below his seasonal average of 66.
Yeah.
1,000 yards, 9 touchdowns, 5 picks.
That's not good.
It's just a different quarterback.
Yeah.
And, like, if the Love, no pun, that we're giving Jordan Love is there, I feel like that number would be different. Now, again, I know it's not a one-sport, a one-position game. But
he did play great in that last year. He just played in a great playoff game. You know, 4 touchdowns, 0 picks against the Bears, and Caleb Williams had heroics there at the end.
Yeah,
but
sure.
I mean, that wasn't on Jordan Love.
You know,
in my
opinion. I asked Gemini where you rank Jordan Love when it comes to the quarterbacks, and this is what they said. So,
God.
No, I mean, the AI is where the world's going. If you're not embracing it, sorry, you're getting left behind.
Yeah, I don't need it to rank my quarterbacks.
No,
but I
do, but I like it because it's conversation. It's amazing the old guy in the room is adopting the technology.
No,
right?
I use it for certain things.
So they have tier one, the elite upper echelon quarterback, and then they have tier two, which they call the Pro Bowler upper half, and they say Jordan Love fits squarely in the 8-12 range alongside quarterbacks like Jared Goff, Brock Purdy, CJ Stroud, and Justin Herbert. How do you feel about that?
I think the 8-12 range is good. I didn't like a lot of the names in that list. I'd put him above most of them besides Herbert. I think Herbert's above that tier as well. But yeah, I think that tier two is a great 8-12 spot. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Would you rather have Herbert or Jordan Love?
Herbert.
Would you rather have Dak or Jordan Love?
Jordan Love. Mm. But I love Dak. If you're talking for one season, maybe Dak.
Caleb or Jordan Love?
Those are both my guys.
Okay.
Those are both my guys.
And who'd you pick as a team that'll suck next year? We'll find out.
I gotta look it up.
Would you rather have Drake May or Jordan Love?
Drake May.
Okay.
Big May guy.
We'll get back to our
big year for Jordan Love.
I think so.
I think it's a big year for Jordan Love. Yeah.
No, that's fair.
We'll get back to our poll question. Plus, we'll get into the stadium and renderings here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Alohi Gilman, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.